You're listening to The Good Life with Jesse Dillon.
Dr. Richard Moss has joined us today. His new book, The Mandala of Being, Discovering the Power of Awareness. Dr. Deepak Chopra says, in this very elegant book, Dr. Moss offers practical suggestions and techniques to find that presence within that allows you to know yourself as a limitless awareness. I have admired Dr. Moss's work for many years and highly recommend The Mandala of Being. You have a fan in Dr. Deepak Chopra.
Yes, we know each other. He's a wonderful man. And he has been an appreciator of my work, as I am of his.
I am interested, Richard, to find out what you know and what your thoughts are with respect to fears, everyday fears, debilitating fears. I'm wondering if you can expand on this thought process for us.
Yeah. Basically, we become fearful when we move into the world of thought and we lose contact with our own power of awareness to be in relationship to our experience. We become the victim of our beliefs about the future, which can scare us silly. We become the victim of what we believe about ourselves. Fear, someone, I don't know who ever said this originally, but such a simple but profound statement, the only thing to fear is fear itself. When you realize that fear is a very powerful sensation, and you turn toward it with, as Deepak said, the limitless awareness, you turn toward it with your deeper attention, then you find that you're kind of wrestling with a demon. And I think there's a lot of fairy tales and there's a lot of biblical stories that talk about individuals who wrestle with something that they think at first is bigger than them. The important thing for everyone to know is that no matter what we think we're struggling with, the part of us that is aware is always larger than what we're aware of. And so we can turn our deeper attention toward fear, and instead of letting the fear carry us into stories about what will happen to us in the future or what will happen to the people we love or what, you know, all the kinds of things we're constantly afraid of, about money, about health, about family, about friends, we turn toward fear and we look at it. And we look at it the way we would look at a tree. It's a much more difficult thing to look at than a tree. But we look at it and we need to disengage the thinking mind from it. Once you do that, then the separation from the fear begins to diminish, or the me, the place inside of us, the stories, the beliefs about ourselves that have to be in place for us to have the fear, they start to become softer. And that's how we turn and we face fear. Any person listening to us now that's been driven by fear, fear in a relationship, fear of a breakup, fear of illness, if you sit down and get quiet and turn right toward the fear and get your mind quiet and relaxed and stay in your body, the fear will recede because you are always bigger than fear. And it will recede, and if you keep doing this, eventually the fear is gone. And you can meet one fear at a time in this way, little fears in the same way. And as you meet a few little fears, you start to gain much more trust in your ability to face anything. And once you know that, then you can start to pilot your way to a life where even if there is fear, you're no longer captured by it, you're no longer defined by it. You feel it. You feel it the same way you see the tree. You feel it the same way you feel anything else in your life, but it doesn't have power anymore.
866-LIME, 114. If you have any questions for Dr. Richard Moss, our lines are open at 866-LIME, 114. Are you familiar with the work of Dr. Richard Davidson?
No,
I'm Wisconsin?
Not. No, I'm not.
They're doing some extensive work with the Dalai Lama's organization and monks on happiness.
Exactly.
And wiring them up to fMRIs, which are 28 modules that go to the brain that measure EEGs.
Right, and functional, right while it's happening.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference between a basic MRI is it's functioning and changing while it's happening.
And what we see is that these monks have learned to activate the parts of the brain that lead to a perception of reality in which we experience happiness, as opposed to lighting up the parts of the brain that lead to a perception of reality that cause us to start worrying and becoming anxious and afraid. And they train themselves to do that. It's a long, long process that they learn to do that. But any person can learn to do this. But it has to do with learning to focus the mind and inviting the quality of feeling that brings us into harmony with ourselves moment by moment. And it's remarkable work, because what we're seeing now is this joining up between our study of psychology, our study of the brain, and the contemplative practices that have been, the awareness practices and the contemplative practices that are the very foundation of all mystical traditions and deep core religious experience.
The issue that I found very interesting, Dr. Moss, is the fact that the monks, when they're hooked up to these electrodes, and I've met Dr. John Davidson and one of his peers, Dr. Helliwell from the University of British Columbia, Dr. Davidson's in Wisconsin. But one of the interesting things that I found, and I'm currently reading a book that has some of the studies in it, when these monks were meditating, their EEGs were literally off the Richter scale. What does that tell us about meditation?
Yeah, and particularly for the left prefrontal lobes, the part of the mind that makes associations between things in a way that leads us to a sense of well-being. What it means is that meditation teaches you how to control the relationship to your thoughts, how to choose and select the deeper mind, the mind that is without thought, from the mind that is with thought, or it teaches you how to choose the kinds of thoughts that actually invoke or cause a positive feeling state. And through practice, this can become stabilized and sustained as a normal way of being, just the way you have to practice on a bicycle, and then suddenly you know how to ride and you can keep your balance, except it takes a little longer.
Easier said than done, Dr. Moss. Many people find that they're so busy micromanaging their affairs, therefore living elsewhere instead of the now, that it's difficult to meditate for them.
Well, exactly. And because it's difficult to meditate, we tend to stay living only in one particular level of our mind. And that particular level of our mind is constantly telling us we're separate. And we need this to be good or safe. We need this person. We need this product. We need these conditions. And when we have these conditions, then life will be safe. But because we're never living in the actual experience of being safe, always living to catch up to a place where life will be good, we actually never arrive there. And that's the price we pay for our busyness. And it is a very devastating price. And the only way you change it is when you've suffered enough and you say, this isn't working, and you have to make a different kind of choice. And that's what's happening to millions and millions of people. They're making that choice.
Dr. Richard Moss has joined me, Jesse Dillon, on The Good Life today. The new book is The Mandala of Being, Discovering the Power of Awareness. Dr. Moss, how have your 30 years of experience in this area as a consciousness teacher led you to these findings in this book?
Well, you know, it's not hard to take people into some of the places we're talking about. It's not hard to take someone who's had no experience of meditation and light their EEG up like those monks. The difference is that most people can't sustain it. I became interested in helping the people I worked with not only touch the potential that we're talking about of a real freedom in themselves, but also to have a practice that would let them be able to sustain it. And that's what I tried to put in the book, the insights, a thorough way of understanding what you can do in a very simple way to make it possible to start to understand your deeper consciousness. I did it simply because I saw the need. I saw the need in myself. I was a different man at home with my stepchildren in my marriage than I was when I was teaching. I could stabilize a much deeper part of my mind when I was working, a part that had awakened about 30 years ago, but it would become more erratic when I was at home, and so I really wanted to understand what I was doing differently. And once I understood that in myself, I saw that it was really valuable for other people. Now I've been able to teach this, the work that's in the mandala, to thousands of people, and it's supporting them in their journey. It's really helping them change their lives. And that's what it's all about, right? If we're going to talk about something, that's one thing. We actually have to experience it. And as close as any book can come to giving us an experience, that's what I was trying to do here. I think from the feedback I've received, it's working. It's really been able to accomplish that.
Richard, I've enjoyed having you on the show today.
I've enjoyed hearing you. Your voice is wonderful, and obviously your heart is listening and bringing and integrating so many things, all kinds of things. And I'm glad to, I'm going to try to find your show more often, Jesse.
Sirius 114, Lime.com, The Good Life. Next week on Wednesday, we're doing a show on energy. William Tiller, Lynn McTaggart, Gary Schwartz, Dr. Richard
Bill,
Pearl.
Bill Tiller's a wonderful man.
Well, we might inadvertently just give you a ring, so if you're in Ojai on Wednesday, don't be surprised if your phone rings.
Hey, thank you.
Richard, this has been fun. Thank you, my friend. The Mandala of Being, brand new book by Dr. Richard Moss. It's available everywhere. And also Richard's website is richardmoss.com. Discover the power of awareness, the Mandala of Being. This is Jesse Dillon. You are listening to The Good Life.